renowned pianist, arranger, producer, studio musician, solo recording artist, Gordon Mote. And it all started with songs he grew up singing.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
So Gordon Mote's with me today, and the project is titled Songs I Grew Up Singing, which right there tells you there's a little more creativity in this because it's not just titled hymns. Okay, it's not just a best of or a hymns type album, although it does feature a lot of songs we're all familiar with. But I have to say, Gordon, I'm a sucker for these. I love these projects that go back and highlight classic songs. And you, I expect, bringing a different flavor to these songs, putting the Gordon Mote stamp on it.
Well, I hope people think that, you know, first of all, hey, you're one of my favorite people in this industry, and it's always a pleasure to be on with you. I think people will really dig it. What I have found in my concerts is, of course, the people who have, you know, who are like you and I, who've been around a little while, and people older than us, they love them, you know, because yeah. It brings back great memories for them. And it's, you know, just some great material. And what I found is because of the presentation and how we've tried to kind of reinvent these songs without taking away from what they are, the younger generation, which so many of them are not familiar with these tunes, they love it too. And so it's really been great to see the response, both via the emails I get and, you know, live in concert.
Were the songs on this project easy for you to compile?
No.
Oh,
no. Because there's so many that we wanted to do. You know, we could have done two or three CDs.
Yeah.
Because there's so many great songs, and, you know, especially for a musician, you've been influenced by so many artists, and I would like to do one of the more contemporary songs I grew up with, you know, when I was a little older, like in, you know, in high school and college. I'd like to do that one day because guys like Stephen Curtis Chapman and the Imperials and, I mean, gosh, I was influenced by those kind of people too.
Yeah.
But this is more of a Southern flavored album. I remember, for instance, Give Them All to Jesus. I remember singing that in youth choir. I have memories of all these songs, but that one really brings back some sweet memories because that's one of the first songs I remember singing in our little youth choir. And I remember hearing, you know, a lot of different groups record it. Like back in the day, you know, if it was a great song, you'd have four or five groups record it and all have hits with it.
Exactly.
And that was the case with Give Them All to Jesus. And I remember thinking, I'd love to meet the guy that wrote that song, because even at that early age, I didn't understand the incredible depth of the lyric, but I knew that it was pretty fantastic because even at that point, I could realize, you know, shattered dreams. Of course, I didn't get that. Wounded hearts. I kind of understood heartbreak, but you know, for me, heartbreak was not getting the toy I wanted when I went to the store.
Right.
But broken toys, I got that, you know, and I remember thinking, hey, Jesus is so kind and loves me so much. He wants everything. He wants me to bring everything to him in prayer. And, you know, I remember at 8 years old, even then I thought that's pretty special. He's pretty fantastic.
Give Them All to Jesus, one of my favorites, too. Here it is with Gordon Mote from the project Songs I Grew Up Singing. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
Are you tired of chasing pretty rainbows? Are you tired of spinning round and round? Wrap up all the shattered dreams of your life. At the feet of Jesus, lay them down. Give them all, give them all. joy. He never said you'd only see sunshine. He never said there'd be promised a heart full of singing about the very thing that once caused pain. So give them all, give them all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded hearts, broken toys. Give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus, and He will turn your sorrow into
Britain Friends here with Gordon Mote today and songs I grew up singing. So, Gordon, tell me about the church where you grew up. Tell me about your childhood a little bit.
Well, I grew up at the Harmony Church of God for a long time in Atala, Alabama, which is a suburb of Gadsden. It's kind of a little bit south, and it's just a little bitty town. And then when we were about 9 or 10 years old, we moved to the Rainbow City Church of God. And I have fond memories of both churches. They were both smaller churches. Rainbow City probably a little bigger. You know, we ran a couple hundred in worship. Harmony probably more like 100. But there were more things for kids at Rainbow City. And a lot of our friends, a lot of mom and dad's friends that had kids were going over there. A lot of things for youth. And we were there through high school. A lot of fond memories. I remember a lot of the people that I kind of grew up with. We went to that church and went through good times and bad times. But one of the coolest things, Daniel, was there were a lot of musicians in that church. I remember Jess Smith and Jamie Gillen. Jess is in radio now. But we sang every Kingsman song known to man, and we thought we were awesome. And I remember hearing Jamie sing, "I'll Drop My Anchor on the Other Side of Jordan." And of course, my big solo was Nearing the Shore. But we sang Imperial songs. I Still Love You, Lord, in the same old fashioned way. And of course, at that time, you know, people were turning me on to albums like One More Song for You and Priority by the Imperials.
Yeah.
But we were still listening to so much Southern gospel. You know, Gold City was from our area. They're from Glencoe, which is another suburb of Gadsden. And of course, we sang a lot of Henson songs and, you know, and Daniel, I always wanted to buy the live albums. I remember having the Happy Goodmans, you know, that double album that he tells the cat had biscuit story and the syrup and the sorghum, you know, don't get the last biscuit. And Sam tells that story and the Inspirations, the one that has It's Shouting Time in Heaven and the Hensons, From the West They Came. I think that's what it's called. I love that song, The Little Storefront Church. And so, And our little group sang Call Me Gone, which is on this record. I love Kenny Henson. I think he is one of the finest singers to ever sing a gospel song.
Yep.
He died way too young, and he influenced so many of us that sing this music today. Never got a chance to meet him. I've met Ronnie and I've met Bo and I've met Kenny's son. Always wanted to meet Kenny, but you know, at that time I wasn't in the industry, didn't know anybody. But I still love this song, Call Me Gone, and glad to do it on this record.
Here it is, Gordon Moat, Call Me Gone. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
Call me a dreamer, 'cause I call it mine. Heaven, I don't care. Call me crazy, 'cause I'm homesick for it, yet I have never been there. Call me a stranger, 'cause that's all I am. I know I don't belong. Call me anything,
I was smart enough one day to call Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, and I called it quits to a whole lot of sin. And it's because of that commitment, well, a lot of people laugh and call me foolish. But you know, that doesn't really bother me at all, because even a fool can see by the shape she's in that this old world's about to fall. But as long as I let Jesus call the shots, well, I've got nothing at all to fear. And when that roll is called up yonder, don't bother calling me, 'cause I'm not gonna be here. Call me gone.
Project's titled Songs I Grew Up Singing with Gordon Moat as our guest today. We're talking about the church you grew up in. And if you're like me and anybody who grew up with fond memories of their childhood church, especially as you got older, you probably realized that church wasn't nearly as perfect as you thought it was as a kid, but you wouldn't change it for the world. The instruction, the fellowship, the friends that you developed in church. I think we think back and we have these rose-colored glasses, and then sometimes we go and we think, you know, everybody was human. We had disagreements. There were theological discussions that as a child I was oblivious to. But there is something about that church, when you do have a fond memory and a pleasant experience growing up, that you just wouldn't change. You find that to be true with your own life?
Oh, absolutely. I still, when we go back home, still have friends that I grew up with in that church. And the pastor emeritus of that church was, of course, the pastor when I was there. And I saw him and his wife about a year ago when I did a concert in my hometown. And they're just as sweet as ever, a little up in years, but still spry. And I believe he could still preach today if somebody asked him to.
Nice. Okay, well, tell me about your wife. We've talked about her a lot, Kimberly. As you're putting this project together, look, I know I'm married. There's a lot of influence that come from our wives. So, Gordon, with your wife's upbringing, was she in a church growing up? Was she familiar with these same songs that you've included?
She was not familiar with many of them at all. She's one of the ones that love them just because they're great songs. They don't really bring back any memories for her. She didn't grow up in church. However, someone offered to take her to church when she was in the, I believe, sixth or seventh grade. And from that time, she always wanted to go, always. And so the church bus would come get her and take her, and she ended up singing in the kids' choir and in the youth choir, and then in the choir when she was in college at the First Methodist Church in Frisco, Texas. And then she went, she was at SMU as a college student and actually sang at Prestonwood Baptist in Dallas. So she got the flavor of a big choir. But as far as these songs are concerned, Daniel, she knew Shut the Door,
that's right,
the Stonehill tune, you know, because that was more of a contemporary. You know, she grew up listening to and singing Sandy Patty and, you know, those, because she was a soprano. And so she was into the contemporary stuff as I was, but she didn't really have the Southern gospel background. But she does love these songs. But like I say, Shut the Door, she knew that one. She loved Randy's version. And then, of course, here I go, taking it to kind of a New Orleans type feel. And she digs that too.
Shut the door, keep out the devil. Shut the door, keep the devil in the night. Shut the door, keep out the devil. Light the candle, everything's all right. Shut the door, keep out the devil. Shut the door, keep the devil in the night. Shut the door, keep out the devil. Light the candle, everything's all right. Well, when I was a baby child, shut the door, keep out the devil. Good and bad was just a game. Shut the door.
Daddy.
You gotta shut the door, keep out the devil. Shut the door, keep the devil in the night. Shut the door, keep out the devil. I light the candle, everything's alright.
Shut the door,
keep out the devil.
Shut the door,
keep the devil in the night.
Shut the door,
keep out the devil.
Light the candle, everything's alright.
Light the candle, everything's alright.
With us here on Daniel Britt and Friends. While we're talking about your family, Gordon, I've got a listener on the line who has a question for you.
Go.
My name is Dorothy Paysour, and I would like to ask Gordon Mote how many children he has.
Well, darling, I have three children. Samantha is now 15, if you can believe that. She is starting to drive a little bit, Daniel.
Wow.
And of course, that's a very scary thing, especially for somebody who can't see what she's doing. The first time I rode with her, I probably rededicated my life to the Lord three or four times before we even got out of the neighborhood. But she's 15. She's very involved in music. She loves to play piano and is just a wonderful singer. She, along with my wife and I, do some Christmas concerts together. Every year we do a traditional thing at Whitestone Country Inn in Kingston, Tennessee. And we do two nights, and it is so fun to sing with the two of them. We like I say, it's a kind of a tradition thing. And then we do a couple other ones in the Christmas season. But she's a great singer. She's a part of the drama program at our high school. And as I said the other day, a huge part of the drama at home, too. Parker is 12, and he's our little athlete. He's got such a sweet heart, and he's daddy's buddy. Yeah. We love sports, and he is, like I say, he's quite the athlete, and he's a good student. Tells everybody that he doesn't sing, but he doesn't think that when he's listening to his iPod in his room that no one, he thinks people can't hear him sing. So, you know, he's too cool to sing. And then there's Ashton, who is four now.
Wow.
And time just goes by so fast. But he is so full of life, and he has just, I mean, he is keeping us young or making us old before our time. I'm not sure which, but probably a little bit of both. But he is so precious and full of just fire, and everything's an adventure. And he is so he's one of the funniest kids I've ever been around.
You know, every generation has its own music, own flavor of music, and the hits of that generation, the songs that really stick with them. But are you hoping that maybe songs from this project that you've pulled out are songs that will stick with your kids?
I do. You know, Ashton is on Shut De Do. You know, he has a little moment on there where he says, "That's yucky, Daddy." And he was pretty excited to do that. But seriously, you know, my kids love a huge variety of music. I mean, from pop to some of the country stuff to contemporary Christian. And they even love some of the gospel stuff. So they are music lovers. And I think kids now, more than ever, Daniel, like a wider variety of music because of iTunes and because of the different download services, because of social media, people talking about these songs. And, oh, I haven't heard that. Let me go hear a preview of that. Yeah. And I think it's more readily available to them. So I think because of that, they're more open and like more types of music.
Speaking of generational type things, you've got a song on here, "Old Buddha," that comes from an Imperials. I know a Russ Taff lyric there that he performed with the Imperials. That, you know, some may say, well, that's kind of a dated sound. Or at least when you listen to the Imperials, you can tell it's from a certain era. But yeah, I love the song. I think it's fun. I think it's. But have you talked to you and Russ are on the Gaither tour a lot? Have you guys talked about this song?
We sang it together on the Gaither Caribbean cruise not long ago. It was so fun because Russ is a huge influence, has been and still is a huge influence on my life, as so many others, receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award at the GMAs. And he so deserves that. And he's quite an icon. And so to just be able to hang out with him and have coffee and goof off with him is a real treat. You know, he's one of those guys that I always thought, man, wouldn't it be cool if I could meet him? But, you know, to work with him and be his buddy and, you know, that's pretty special. But we sang it together. He loves this cut of it. And, you know, it's a message that we still need to hear today. It doesn't matter what church you belong to. It all comes down to if you've asked Jesus into your heart. We're all going to disagree on different things theologically, but at the end of the day, if you know Jesus Christ and as your Lord and Savior, that's what it takes to go.
And the song strikes a necessary balance. Obviously, you draw a line in the sand and you say it is about Jesus, and if you get off of Jesus, we got a problem. But at the same time, on the side issues, we can hold hands in Jesus' name and disagree on some other things.
We can. You know, like I say, the most important thing is, are you washed in the blood, you know?
Yeah.
Jesus hated religion. But you know, he does call us to love him and love our neighbors, and we can love each other and still disagree. That's like any family. You know, the family of God's like any family. I certainly love the people within my family unit, but we don't always agree, and that's okay. And I think that's, again, that's part of what the song is saying, too. I think it's very relevant today, just like all these songs.
Well, Buddha was a man, and I'm sure that he meant well. But I pray for his disciples, lest they wind up in hell. And I'm sure that old Muhammad thought he knew the way. But it won't be Hare Krishna we stand before on the judgment day. No, it won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Muhammad that's calling us home. And it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune. And we're going to see the sun, not red and moon. Well, I don't hate anybody, so please don't take me wrong. There really is a message in this little song. See, there's only one way, Jesus. If eternal life is your goal, a meditation of the mind won't save your soul. No, it won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Muhammad that's calling us home. And it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune. And we're going to see the sun, not Reverend Moon. Well, you can call yourself a Baptist and not be born again.
A Presbyterian!
Or a Methodist and still die in your sin.
You can't even be Pentecostal,
shout and dance, jump a few pews. But if you hate your brother, you won't be one of the chosen few.
Cause it won't be a Baptist that's sitting on the throne, a Presbyterian or a Methodist that's calling us home. And it won't be a Pentecostal plays that trumpet tune. So let's all just live for Jesus, because he's coming back real soon.
No, it won't
be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Muhammad that's calling us home. And it won't be a Hare Krishna trumpet tune. And we're going to see the sun and not a Reverend Moon. Yeah, we're going to see the sun and not Reverend Moon.
Not a Reverend Moon.
Gordon Moat and the project of Songs I Grew Up Singing. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Let me switch to tables for a minute, because speaking of tables, we'll talk about food, because I know you love food. Got a couple of food questions for you. One is, we're talking about maybe songs you grew up singing and thinking about your childhood. As you've gotten older, and I know you've been on some different health kicks, do you have any kind of diet change that you've made lately, or any kind of health kick that you've been on, or maybe over the past year you jumped on a bandwagon and then you jumped back off again?
Well, I tell you what, you know, yeah, you can get on and off. It's hard to eat good on the road, but I've lost almost 50 pounds in the last year. Just went to a nutritionist and under a doctor's care, started exercising a whole lot and just really being careful what I eat. But I still have a weakness for that homemade chocolate cake and those Oreo cookies and that fried chicken you get when you go to a church and you're doing a concert and the sweet lady says, "Hun, let me fix you a plate. That ain't enough. You need some more food on that plate. What are you trying to do, starve?" You know, so, you know, homemade biscuits and, oh man, you know, so yes, but what I've learned is just kind of do it in moderation.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's really hard to do. But, you know, I'm determined to keep this weight off, and because it was hard to lose, just like anybody out there that's lost a ton of weight. But I feel much better. I feel healthy. And I want to be around to see my kids grow up and have grandkids and them have grandkids. And I want to be around a long time. So, yeah, I'm much more careful about what I eat than I used to be.
So what's the most unusual or disgusting sounding food concoction that you actually enjoy? Something you like, but others would say, ugh, not for me, Gordon.
Oh, gosh. That's a good question.
Everybody thinks of Elvis's peanut butter and banana and mayonnaise type thing.
Oh,
you know?
I hate that. I would hate that. Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't like fried dill pickles, but I think they're pretty fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a real spicy food lover. I mean, like the hotter, the better for me. And so we're always trying to find something that's just crazy hot, you know, and some Indian food is, but I'm talking about hot sauces too, you know, good Mexican food.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't like it near as hot as I like it. If I'm sweating, I'm digging it.
Hey, by the way, Gordon Motes joining us from his back porch, and you hear the birds in the background. This is a favorite place for you, isn't it?
Oh, it's a haven of rest, man. I'm telling you, there is nothing better than having your kids and your wife and just being outside. You know, Ashton loves to play outside, and so that's right up my alley. And of course, you'll find me out here on an evening. You've got the Braves game on. Man, it's just nothing better than being outside and hearing the birds. You know, that's where I heard Don't Let Me Miss the Glory for the first time. And it hit me so hard because there I am. I'm outdoors. It's early morning. I don't know why I picked early morning to listen to those demos, but it just happened to be one I had. But God knew what was going on. I mean, the wind was blowing in my face. The flowers smelled so good. The birds were singing. I mean, it was the perfect spring morning. And there I sit with my coffee and listening to Don't Let Me Miss the Glory. Dude, I'm telling you, wow. I'll never forget that moment.
If we were there at your house and we were kind of walking through the front door into the entryway and went to your living room, what would be the most interesting thing we would notice over in the corner or maybe on the shelf or hanging on a wall or a furniture piece that would be kind of interesting to us? And we'd say, tell us the story behind that, Gordon.
Kimberly has a couple of pieces that her grandmother owned, and I think probably goes back as far as her, you know, her grandmother's mother. She has an old hutch that, I don't know how far it goes back, and also a grandfather clock, which we need to have worked on. But I know that grandfather clock goes back to the late 1800s. Just a couple of keepsakes that Kimberly had. And, you know, those visual type things mean more to her than they would to me. But I have an old transistor radio and a little AM transistor radio that my dad gave me when I was like 7 or 8 years old, but it came from his dad. I mean, I don't know how old this thing is. It's probably from the 60s, but that's one of my prized possessions. Just my little, you know, just, I don't know. It just, I remember the day I got it. I remember how special I thought I was when I got it. Man, he thinks I'm a real man. He gave me my own radio, you know, and it's those things that mean something to me. But I think when you come through our house, those a couple of old pieces, that grandfather clock and that hutch, I think that catches people's eye.
Gordon Motes with me here on Daniel Britt and Friends. The songs we're hearing are songs Gordon grew up singing from a project called, well, songs I grew up singing. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Here's Gordon Moon.
Gonna find a way. my treasures in that home above. Trusting, fully trusting in my Savior's love. Doing what I can for heaven's holy dove. I'm getting ready to leave this world.
I'm getting ready to leave this world of sorrow. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record right, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world.
Said I'll go. If it were not true, I would have told you so. Just a little while to linger here below.
I'm getting ready to leave this world.
Gordon Moat and the project is Songs I Grew Up Singing. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. All right, Gordon, here's a tough question for you. You've just recorded this project, and so I know it's a lengthy process to go to a studio and pick the songs, arrange it, get the musicians in place, record it, do a few takes. But the question here is, and I'll put there's a couple of qualifiers on this. If you were to stand up right now and have to go today to a studio and record one song, and maybe put this as the qualifier. The song has to be kind of an unplugged version of either a song you've already recorded or a song that's in your mind, or maybe you would want to sit down and write this song for the world to hear today. It's going to be offered at Starbucks as the free iTunes download of the week next week. What would that song say, or what would the message be?
Oh, gosh, that is so tough. You know, that's a really, really great question. I think it would come down to two tunes that I've recorded. Don't Let Me Miss the Glory. If you've seen me in concert, you've seen the video that goes with it.
Yeah.
When I do it without video, when we're in a place that either doesn't have it or it's an outdoor festival, like I remember doing it under the stars one night, and it was just so appropriate. I did it just unplugged, just with me and the piano, no other instruments, and took it a little slower so that everybody could hear every word and just imagine it in their mind, because you know, that's what I do. I imagine it in my mind. I know what things sound like, and I know what people tell me things look like. But when I sing that song, you can see it, but I imagine it. And so it's fun to have the listener do that right along with me. And I think if we did an unplugged version of that, it would force the listener to really take the words in. No production, just me and a piano. And because, you know, Daniel, I'm way into old radio shows, you know, from the 30s, 40s, 50s. And so that was before television. People had to imagine. It was the theater of the mind. And so I think that one. And then I recorded another song some years back called Who Will Be Jesus. Mm. And I think that lyric is so poignant, especially with all the crazy stuff going on in the world with the tornadoes and the floods and the earthquake in Haiti. My wife and I and our family are planning a mission trip over there this summer. But I have had several things happen to me over the last year that has really brought that song back to light. I wasn't singing it for a while. You know how you do. You record things and they're on the radio, and you can't sing all the songs that were popular, you know, because you want to sing songs from the new album. And some songs stick, and then you kind of work songs in and out. But because of a couple of chance meetings that I've had, and I know nothing is coincidence, but it's just people that God's brought into my life, into my path, that have said this happened or that happened, and the church or a certain person had such an influence on me just because they followed God's leading and weren't afraid to step out in faith. They were Jesus to me in some way or another. Whether it be giving them money to help their family get off the ground again, or just an ear to listen after some type of tragedy. I mean, there are so many ways we can be Jesus, Daniel. We don't have to slap people over the head with the Bible. We can just be their friend. And, so I think that song has a pretty poignant lyric too.
That's true. Gordon Moat's with me here on Daniel Britt and Friends. The project is Songs I Grew Up Singing. By the way, get this at gordonmoat.com. And one of the songs on this project, one of my favorite, Andre Crouch tune, Through It All. And I love the lyric in there about having problems. If I didn't have any problems, I wouldn't know there's a God that could solve them. And I don't know if that was just something that hit Andre at just a moment of quiet time for him, or if that was kind of a hook from a sermon or a message he heard somebody else say. But that sticks with me. I love that lyric.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There've been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. In a lot of places, and I've seen a lot of faces. There were times I felt so all alone. In my lonely hours, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was His own. In God, oh, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Well, I thank God for my mountains, and I thank Him for my valleys, and I thank Him for the storm. He's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, how would I know that God could solve them? How would I know what faith in His word could do? That's why I'm up here singing through it all. Oh yeah, through it all. Upon His holy word. Through it all. Oh, yeah.
There is not a more powerful song, I don't think, through the whole night than that one for me, doing what we do right now, as far as speaking to people about what they're going through today. And when you get on the other side of a huge valley and you're up on the mountain, you can look and see how God brought you through. And I think God causes those things in our lives so that we can understand how incredibly dependent we are upon Him and his guiding us and the Holy Spirit to make sure we make right decisions, but also how much he cares for us and how much he loves us. And he tells us that he'll never leave us, never forsake us, you know, cast our cares upon him, for he cares for us. And there's a song I recorded on the last album called Hold Me Up.
Yeah.
And then we go right into Through It All. And that's a pretty powerful moment because, you know, Daniel, you, cause you're in the radio, you talk to people every day. There are so many people with the economic situation we're in and other things too, that are going through just some tough stuff. And when people come to a concert of mine, I want them to leave encouraged. If they don't leave with anything else, I want them to leave with no doubt in their mind that Jesus loves them. Jesus knows what's going on in their hearts and in their lives. And he is going to take it all and work it for his good, even if it's hard for us to see it now. And I'm going to tell you right now, our ministry and our family is going through some pretty tough stuff too. I'm not going to lie about it. So every night I sing that song, it's as much for me as it is for the listener.
Try to hide the sun, but all will see that I'm the one, 'cause I'll come again. Ain't no power on earth can keep me back. Yes, I'll come again. Come to take my people back.
And I was going to ask you, I just saw a kind of a AAA survey today that was talking about the economy and fuel prices. Just, you know, that hits home for so many of us. And I think 60-some-odd% of people are changing their lifestyle, combining their trips, their errands that they're doing, just to save on the fuel costs. So in light of all of that, have you had to make any, you know, where does the economy hit you, like with rising fuel costs? Obviously, you got to fill up a bus. That's a big deal. But even in your own family, do you find
$850 to fill that bus up?
Oh, man.
And how the economy has hurt us is number one, fuel prices. And then number two, people don't buy product as much as they did. And so, you know, we're having to figure out other ways to do business, just like any business.
Sure.
You know, when you go into these churches and they say, well, you sing gospel music, you ought to come in here and sing for free. Well, I sing for free. I would play and sing for free any day of the week. But you can't do that and make a living for your family and pay to travel. It costs so much money to travel and do what we do. And of course, you know, I've got payroll. I've got guys that travel with me. And so that's the hard thing. The economy has hit the church and has hit everybody. And so with the lack of product, it's harder to get people to buy tickets for a concert sometimes. And then the rising fuel cost, it has made it a lot harder for us to do what we do. But that's when you say, okay, God, you have called us into this ministry. And if it's your will for us to stay out here, we know that you will provide. And when it's time to shut her down and go home and do something else, you'll let us know when it's time to do that too. And we're going to be joyful and happy. And yes, do I spend time worrying about it? Yes, from time to time. I'm human. I ain't going to lie. when I know there's not enough in there to do what we need to do. But God always provides, Daniel. I can't think of a single time because there's not one that he hasn't provided.
Gordon Motes with us here on Daniel Britt and Friends. The project that we've been hearing today is Songs I Grew Up Singing.
I may never know. The answer I may never know. Why he ever loved me so. But to that old rugged cross he'd go. For who am I? Daniel Britton Friend.
It's the time to sing praises to the rock of the ages. This is the time I must sing. This is the time I must sing. It's the time to sing praises to the rock of the ages. This is the time I must sing.
Gordon Mote here on Daniel Britton Friends. Songs I grew up singing, and a question here about social media. I know you're very much involved with it, and obviously the way we're conducting this radio show today is through Skype. I mean, and who would have thought just, you know, 5-6 years ago we would be doing broadcasts like this. So with social media, texting, mobile phones, and instant messaging, it's all changed our social behavior. Everywhere from people not really speaking in complete sentences anymore to writing in cursive being kind of a thing of the past. What are the biggest things you notice that's changed in your own circles or even with fans at concert venues?
Oh, man, it has changed a lot. First of all, you know, I just started tweeting, you know, about a month and a half ago. My publicist said, okay, you have waited long enough. You have got to do this. This is silly. This is crazy. And so I, you know, because I'm one of those guys that says, who cares what I'm doing right now? But it brings you closer to people, and people do love to know that you're normal, that you're just real, you know, like today I put a picture up of my puppy sleeping, you know, because people love that. They, you know, they have puppies, and put a picture up of me and Ashton doing something silly, you know, crazy. Posting things when we travel and so forth. It's amazing how many friends you can make doing that. And of course, I love to hear people when I'm texting, they freak if they haven't seen me do that before. You know, I've got an iPhone. And if they haven't seen me tweet or text, man, they freak. You know, it's just totally crazy to them. But, you know, I help my friends when they have computer problems. I'm kind of a geek when it comes to all that. But social media has been huge. You know, Facebook, Twitter, all that, texting. But I have found with Twitter, the fans, man, they are so precious. And I love that interaction. I don't do it as much as I should. I know that. I just get caught up in other things. But the reward for me is just the interaction with the people out there that listen to your songs, that know who you are and love you and pray for you and love your family. And so, you know, you make a whole bunch of new friends.
Gordon Mote, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. And Gordon, I'm not saying anything about you. This is obviously could be a problem, especially if you have to meet a tour bus to go out for a tour or a string of shows. How do you deal with friends who are always late? Have you ever had to give those people a different time to show up just so they would actually make it on time?
You know what? I have not had, you know, because I have my own bus.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the people that work with me, they know that is a huge pet peeve of mine. I mean, because it just is, me and Kimberly both. Mm-hmm. I mean, I if I'm late, it's because of some type of emergency or whatever. I leave plenty of time to get to the venue or get to the studio or whatever it is. So the people that work with me, they know that's a huge pet peeve. And they know that if they're late, I'm going to understand because they don't make a habit of it. Mm-hmm. You know, something has happened in their gig too, but they also know that if they're late on a regular basis, they're not going to be late very much more, you know, cause that's just something I can't deal with is, you know, things have got to be efficient. You never know if you're going to have a problem with the bus. And, you know, if you've got a church or a promoter or something that's expecting you at a certain time, you need to be there cause it's your name on the line, yeah. You know? So, But I haven't had to deal with that very much, to be honest with you.
Well, Gordon, the project is great. And again, it's a lot of songs that have been originally recorded by other artists. And sometimes that may cause people, I don't know if you've noticed this, sometimes people may run a little cautious on buying an album like this, but I don't. I run to them because I love I love to hear it through a different lens or a different filter, or to see how you are going to interpret these songs in a fresh way. So good job.
I tell you, this was so fun doing, and I got to give a lot of credit to Phil Johnson. Phil's produced my last four albums, and of course, he wrote Give Them All to Jesus. I've been wanting to record that song for a long time. But a song like Rise Again, yeah. We had LaDonna Gatlin Johnson, Johnson mm-hmm. Gatlin, mm-hmm. Phil's sister, and then Tim, who sang on the original Dallas Home recording.
Nice.
On Who Am I, we had Tanya Sykes and Michael Sykes sing on it.
Great.
On I'm Getting Ready to Leave This World, we had Jeff and Sherry. I wanted some things that made sense. Just a couple of moments, you know.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool to have Tanya on Who Am I, being Rusty's daughter, and she added so much to it. You know, I wanted to make sure that these songs got the respect they deserved, that we gave credence to what they were and made them, but at the same time, freshened them up just a bit, kind of put our own spin on it. And Phil deserves a lot of the credit for that. He's such a creative guy, too. And hopefully between the two of us, we made a record that people will love and people will go out and buy, because my kids need lunch money. So
that's right.
Yes.
And you can do that at GordonMote.com, and you can tweet. Is it simply at Gordon Mote?
Yep.
There you go. So connect up with him at GordonMote.com. And Gordon, enjoy this year and what the project is doing. I think it's incredible. And thanks for taking your time to sit with us.
Daniel, I appreciate what you do. You are one of the very best in our industry. And I know I say this to you all the time, but I just can't say it enough. You do everything with class and as professionally as anybody. And I just appreciate you. And I know all around the North America, United States and Canada, listen, so much appreciate you and your willingness to bring gospel music as far as the personal side of it to them, and your hard work. And man, you're just awesome. You have a sweet wife. That little baby is not a baby anymore.
No.
And it's so fun. It's always great to see you in person and to talk to you over Skype or whatever the case. You're awesome.
Thanks, Gordon.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews, again, online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.